Our man Jake Gaydon from CBS 13 joining us with the stupidest jersey I've ever seen.
I agree.
On his person right now, just grinning from ear to ear. He loves nothing talking about Northeast sports. John from Connecticut. Our man Jake gearing up for the. I do love this juxtaposition of having the Cowboys jersey on one, or excuse me, the 49ers jersey on one screen and the Patriots jersey on the other.
Although he's in a celebratory mood. The AL East is his Yankees once again. I mean, they took care of business. I like the Yanks, though, so I ain't got nothing bad to say about the Yanks. I like the Yanks.
Okay.
How can you not like the Yanks? Aaron Judge is the man, okay? All rise for Judge. Baseball is back in the box in October. It's going to be great.
That is one of the great atmospheres in sports.
Absolutely.
Playoff baseball in Yankee Stadium
is
bonkers. I can't wait to see it.
Can I tell you a secret, guys?
What's up?
I might be going back for a playoff game.
Oh, that's how you feel?
I feel so confident in this team making it to the World Series that I will literally kill myself if I do not go.
Well, don't do that.
Yeah, Jake, can we? Okay.
Don't do that.
I believe it is our professional responsibility to urge you to do no such thing.
Just saying you'll be upset.
I'll be very upset if that does not happen. So I am going to go back for a game. I don't know which one yet. Maybe ALDS, ALCS type vibes. Maybe World Series. Who knows? We'll see what I can get my hands on.
Very good, man. That's exciting. Exciting time of year as baseball enters its best part of the season. Football is underway. You'll be at Media Day on Monday. Practice on Tuesday. Much like us, you got an opportunity to talk to Domantas Sabonis. How'd that conversation go, and what were your takeaways from talking to the All-Pro?
I love that Sabonis, being the guy that we know him as, is a quiet individual, very private, opening his life up for everyone to kind of see and peek through the window of who he is as a person, because his story is incredible, right? Like, his father was a legendary NBA player. He's become such a great player here in Sacramento and an All-Pro here in Sacramento. But then he also has this incredible home life with his wife, Shoshana, his son, Tiger, their newborn daughter as well. And, like, if you've seen him on the sidelines prior to games, he's always playing with his kids. I'm excited to show the rest of the country what Sacramento is about, but specifically what Domantas Sabonis is about, because the guy is an incredible human being beyond basketball, just a great human being, and I'm excited for everyone to see that.
Yeah, man, I can't wait to see it either, man. I think I think his day-to-day and even after listening to this interview and everything, it's going to be a little more interesting than people probably thought, you know, what he does on a daily basis, what he does as a husband and a father in his off days and stuff like that. And even just seeing them going through that season, you know, maybe they get his reaction after they lose to Detroit. And you know, he tells the camera, no, not now, guys, cut it, you know, something like that. So I think this is going to be a really good series, and it's going to be good for him too.
It'll be good to put Sac on the map. Mm-hmm. I think you'll give people a person to root for out here, especially with the season that they're about to kick off, like you said, on Monday, which I think is the most anticipated season Kings fans have had in the past decade.
Do you feel good about the season? Do you feel good about where this team is at? Like, not everybody loved the DeMar DeRozan signing. Do you feel good about the steps this team has taken?
I do. I still wish they made one more move to get a little longer lengthwise at the forward position. But, hey, if they want to play small ball and look like the Warriors did a couple years ago, so be it. I think there's a lot of X factors this season. I love DeMar or Debo or whatever you want to call him. I think that veteran leadership is going to be phenomenal in that locker room. Plus, another guy that can go get a bucket when you need it, right? Like, when it comes to Malik Monk, when it comes to De'Aaron being able to take a little pressure off of them. But the things I don't think people are talking about is twofold. One, the ability to play with Domantas and how well they're going to probably play off each other in that 1-2 pick and roll. And then two, how it maybe alleviates Keegan Murray and what he has to do maturation-wise this next year. If they didn't bring in DeMar, okay, you're going to put a lot on Keegan Murray's shoulders for year three. And I think it maybe takes a little bit off of it. I also, you know, the X factor this year for me is Kevin Huerter. Like, I still think he's one of the best shooters in the NBA. He's one of the best rebounding guards in the NBA. I just don't know how he will be if he has to come off the bench instead of start. I think that's the biggest question mark that we have going into next week. What does that look like? But I'm confident. I know, you know, KC was picking, what, 52 wins, my guy? Like, still... I'm still in that role. I like 48 to 52. Like, I still think that's a very attainable thing this year. And I think they're going to be playing in that 4 or 5 seed. Like, that's what we were looking at. No plan. I think they're going to get out of it. And I think the West got a little weaker with some of the departures. That's my personal opinion.
Do you look at DeRozan coming in and the positives of him coming in and what he brings to the table and think that somebody's numbers are going to have to go down? And if you do, who do you think's numbers maybe go down, even though the team might be a little better?
I think numbers, when you talk numbers, Casey, are you talking minutes played or points per game?
More so points per game. You know, whose numbers maybe take a dip in that category?
I think maybe Keegan Murray's numbers go down a bit. I think maybe Malik doesn't take as many shots as he used to. But again, I'm considering it this way. I think still Malik Monk comes off the bench with Keon Ellis, and that's the 1-2 punch that you have coming off the bench. And maybe Keon, you know, is more the defender, while Malik is more of what De'Aaron is, which is the attacker, the point scorer. I don't know where the points are. You know, Harrison Barnes, you got to account for those points. I know they're minimal majority of last season, but like, there was times where we needed Harrison to do well and he didn't. That's why he lost the game. So that's where I think points maybe don't diminish. I think that's where you gain the points to win a game.
I do think there is a bit of an adjustment without HB, and there will be guys that have to learn to step into kind of that role. Like, Harrison didn't always succeed in the moment of like calming everything down, but he did. There were plenty of times where he did, and whether it's DeMar, who has done it time and time again throughout his entire career, whether it's De'Aaron stepping into that role, Domas, whether this is where Keegan's next step of maturation comes from, somebody's going to have to do that. And I guess the good problem to have is they got a variety of guys that can do it. But there is a, you know, as much as we got to get Harrison out of here, as much as whether that's the case or not, there is a bit of a void here that someone is going to have to step in and fill at various points throughout the season.
Oh, totally agree. I think that's where the X factor comes in, of where do these guys fill these minutes, and rotationally, like, what does it look like? And do we figure that out within the first 2 months, right? Like, I think, Mike, that's the big question I have coming in on Monday. Like, hey, Mike, what does the rotation look like? And like, are you okay with it being not settled for the first 2 months of the season and figuring it out by December, January, or are you still going to tinker with it all the way to February? Like, that's where my biggest question mark is, because everything else is settled. They have continuity within the roster. A lot of guys know their roles or what their roles are going to be. It's just putting the puzzle pieces together to make it all come together and have a winning formula.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. I think you mentioned it. I said it a little bit as well, but that the continuity that this group has, I think, is an underrated factor to this season. And there is an adjustment period I with DeMar coming in and everything. I expect that, but I don't think it's going to last very long.
Agree.
You know, I think it's going to be something that they get the hang of and start to feel good about relatively early, and then that's when the familiarity of the core of this group comes into play, and I think they're going to be really good in the regular season.
Agree. Now,
my biggest question is: do they take down the Pelicans? That's what I want to know. Can they beat the Pelicans team?
Don't quote me on any of that. I don't know.
At some point, they're going to have to. Like, for goodness sakes, at some point they're going to.
Or just win all the other games and don't be.
I guess you can do that too. Let's get to why you look so ridiculous today.
This
Jake said on Sunday night, hey, it's Patriots week, baby. Get me on the show.
It's Patriots week. What you talking about, man?
It's the 49ers and the Patriots, man. My man Jake Gayton is excited. Now let's – come on, man. Let's talk. Well, this Patriots team ain't it. Like, I know you're repping your squad, but, like, it's mandatory. Like, this Patriots team ain't it, is it?
No. If we're a top five pick this next year, I think that makes me happy, because we need a left tackle. I think when I look at this game, I say this is a get right game for the 49ers, especially on defense. Patriots have no offensive line. So, like, I think Nick Bosa is going to go off this game for maybe a sack or a sack and a half. The wide receiving core is young, inexperienced, and I think that they're going to be locked down. I think if there's anything good about that Patriots offense, it's Jacoby Brissett not making mistakes. He doesn't turn the ball over, and then the rushing attack led by Ramondre Stevenson. Look what Stevenson did this past week against the Jets. You sit there and you're like, on Thursday Night Football last week, you're like, all right, well, this is not good. If Stevenson can't run the ball, how are they going to move the ball? So 49ers defense hasn't looked good for the past 2 weeks, especially last week against the Rams. I sit there and say this is a get-right game at home in San Francisco in front of your home crowd. And then offensively, you know, this Patriots defense is still really good. It has a lot of Bill Belichick in it still. Gerard Mayo is a disciple of him. So I think you're going to see a lot of mixed defenses, a lot of what you saw maybe in Minnesota as well, which I'm excited to see.
Jake,
what's going on?
You got to close your messenger or your email. Somebody is trying to get a hold of you right now.
Update his Windows.
And it's quite jarring.
My mom's calling
okay. Me
right now.
Oh, okay, Mama Gayden, we'll be with you shortly. Just text back, Mom is in an emergency. I'll be right with you.
That's literally what I'm about to say. I'm on the radio. Are we good? Getting back to it. I think that, you know, what you saw 2 weeks ago in Minnesota and the Brian Flores defense, I think that's going to be a big type of defense that you'll see from the Patriots this past week. So this next week. So how Brock Purdy does, especially with the rumors with Deebo Samuel possibly being back in the fold, that's going to be very, very intriguing because it's a tough defense to play against. Even Aaron Rodgers admitted to it last week. This is going to be a grind out game. It's not going to be high scoring, and if it is, it's going to be because of a 49ers blowout.
Well, let me ask you this then, to kind of piggyback off that. What does a Patriots win look like on Sunday, in your opinion?
A 14-10 win. Like a 10-6 win.
So week one against the Bengals where it's 16-10, Bengals turn the ball over 2-3 times, and the Patriots just don't turn it over or mess it up, basically.
Mistake-free football. And they're going to win at the battle of attack, or be more physical than the other team. And they're not going to beat you with their skill guys because they don't got skill guys. Simple as that. Like, it's just not – they're not as good as a Deebo or an Ayuk or a George Kittle or even a Jordan Mason. Let's be real about this. So if you're asking me what a Patriots win looks like, it's like a six, like you said, a 16-10 game. It's a field goal fest and no touchdowns thrown at Levi Stadium on Friday or Sunday.
Take care of the football, 49ers. You got this.
You love the Patriots. You cover the San Francisco 49ers. Not the best start, not the start everybody was hoping for the San Francisco 49ers. What's your early assessment of the way this team looks right now? Anything to be concerned about just early in the season, injuries?
I would say injuries are definitely an issue. I'm quite concerned about Christian McCaffrey. Like, the tendonitis thing is, I have a buddy that has dealt with tendonitis through his whole entire playing career and couldn't finish college because of it. So I think the tendonitis thing is something to definitely keep an eye on with Christian McCaffrey. But when you look at this team, it doesn't look perfect and it doesn't look like together. Like, there's just the vibe. I think we've all talked about this. The vibes seem off. On a consistent basis on how they play and they move the ball, how they're practicing. Like, the vibes are definitely different up in Santa Clara. And I think until they have that get-right game where everything goes right and they just dominate from start to finish, I don't feel like any 49er fan or any team covering them or any person covering them is going to say, yeah, this looks like the 49er team that we expect. I personally believe that they need to have like a couple more weeks until you really can assess what this team actually looks like. Give it to me by week 7 or week 8, and then we'll have a better idea of what it looks like. But right now, to start the season, the vibes aren't good. Especially, like, remember last year they started like 4-1 or something like that. Like, that is when the vibes were good. You felt like, okay, they separated themselves from the pack and they're able to win games in a variety of different ways. And now you're sitting at 1-2, and you're like, well, that last one didn't look good against the Rams. They came back and won. And that Vikings game really didn't look good. And the week one game against the Jets, they did look good, but it was the first week of football. So, like, vibes are different, I would say. Vibes are definitely different this year.
Jake, your Patriots were, is it the only team to lose the Super Bowl and go back and win the following year? What was the, from your memory, like, what was that season like? Because everybody talks about the Super Bowl hangover and all this other stuff. Do you kind of remember how they went about that championship year to get over the Super Bowl hangover? Was it something that started from the start of the season, or did they kind of get their footing as the season went along?
Got their footing when the season went along. And I remember, like, there was a struggle at the beginning of the year to find out who was that guy, right? Julian Edelman wasn't doing great. Gronkowski, if I can remember correctly, was pretty banged up to start the year. So I remember it didn't look perfect at the beginning of the year. But that, you got to remember, you're not going to win a Super Bowl in September. You're not going to win a Super Bowl in October. You win a Super Bowl in January.
Do we know that for sure?
Positive.
Has this 100% idea been studied?
Well, you know, you can't – what did he say? You can't – lose games and win in the NFL.
Well, that's the great Trent Dilfer. You can't lose games and win in the NFL. That's truer words have never been spoken.
For real, fam. For real. So I think when you look at the Patriots and how they won that back after coming off a Super Bowl loss, a lot to do with Tom Brady, be real with you on that. A lot to do with Bill Belichick, but they found their form in December and November and took off from there. The big thing for the Patriots, and I think that's the thing with the 49ers for the rest of this season, take care of the division. You can take care of the division, win your other game against the Rams at home, be able to beat the Seahawks. Like, those are the games that I count the most, because if you win your division, you're guaranteed to make the playoffs, and then you go from there.
We've been talking a lot. It really kind of, the conversation got a little bit louder after the Carolina Panthers decided to kind of move away from Bryce Young at this point. Your Patriots also have a young quarterback in Drake May. Jacoby Brissett is kind of the guy under center right now. That has started to come into question already this year. But what was your assessment on Drake May? And maybe not necessarily Drake May the player, but more that situation. Did you think it was something where, hey, this offensive line can't protect him, this team isn't good enough, we'd be setting him up for failure? Or was it more of like, he's not very good, our best bet right now is Jacoby Brissett?
No, I really believe it's the former rather than the latter. I think truly, when you look at Drake May and who he is, I think when he has struggled, especially in North Carolina, it was because he didn't have the right people around him. But when he did have the right people around him, he flourished with the Tar Heels. So I don't think it's setting the young stud up for success, right? I think you look around the league and you look at players like Sam Darnold, for example, like, not a great situation in the New York Jets, got thrown to the fire, and now is found his footing in Minnesota after a great year last year with San Francisco. I think that's what people are starting to realize in the NFL, of like, you can't just throw the rookie for the wolves. Like, you've got to have a good situation for him to set up. So for me, I am a huge proponent of having Jacoby Brissett still start every single week until like week 7 or 8. I think they have a bye week in week 6, and then they play Miami week 7 or something like that. Like, I think that would be a perfect situation, and when you know, put Drake May and put him in the fire, because there'll be a time he needs to play. He needs to get the reps. I wouldn't sit him out and have a redshirt year. But at the same time, I'm not going to start him from week 1 and have an offensive line. Like, they don't have a left tackle, guys. They have no left. He would get killed by Nick Bosa if he started this week. He would literally be eaten by Nick Bosa. That's why people have been clamoring in New England about trying to make sure that Drake May starts this week. No! Let the dude cook under Jacoby Brissett, figure out what it means to be an NFL quarterback, and then when you got the concepts of what the offense looks like and you have the guys around him to be able to win, then you go. Like right now, like I said at the beginning, I'm gunning for a top 5 pick because we need a left tackle, and it needs to happen this next year. And then you can talk about, okay, is Drake May legitimately the guy moving forward?
Hey, Jake, I wanted to ask you, because like a number of different stories in this city since you've come here, you're all over the Sac State situation and them trying to make a push to get to FBS. And I know you were out in Oakland yesterday, so you didn't get a chance to go to the press conference. But, you know, they it looked like they're moving forward, building this new stadium and doing everything they can to be appealing to these Pac-12 or Mountain West conferences. What's your feeling on that, man? How do you feel about the progress and if they're going to be able to get this done?
I'm 50-50. Like, it's a great idea, and I love the concept, and we've talked about it. It's everything's there for it to happen. Like, I really do think Sac State can be an FBS program and can move into that. But where's the money coming from, fam? Like, I've been talking to people for the past week about this, and just the concept of moving from FCS to FBS sometimes is not understood by everybody and what it takes to make that move and the money that's involved. Like, great, they have a football stadium for next year, hopefully within the next 2 years. That's going to help with recruiting. That's going to help with the program itself, and not just the football recruiting, but the other sports that are going to play their track and field and rugby. Mm-hmm. But, fam, have you been to the Nest? Like, the Nest is by far the worst college basketball venue I've personally ever been in. Some of the high schools, like – Intercom High School right up the road. Grant High School might have a better setting for a basketball game than the Nest. I hate to say it. So I'm worried that we might have jumped a little too far too quickly. I want to know where this money is coming from, because they still need to update the basketball arena to become an FBS program or move to the FBS level. They're still going to need to do updates to the other 20-something other sports that they have going on within the program. I'm not sketched by it. I'm hesitant to be excited about it until I know where the dollars and cents are. And there's actually shovels in the ground, because you guys have been here for much longer than I have. Wasn't this a thing where they announced at one point that they were going to redo, you know, the stadium, and then it never happened? Like, that's where my worry is. Like, it's a bunch of talk, but there's no actual progress with it.
For me, the difference between, this time and the other times is, number one, I feel like they're a lot more vocal about it, a lot more out front with everything. And they've gone outside of the typical, we need donors to give back to get the money. They're going to businesses. They're going to the city to try and get this done. And I think that's the difference between all the efforts in the past. You're right. We won't know anything until the shovels are in the ground. But this one feels different. And I think President Luke Wood and AD Michael Orr, they kind of look at this as their legacy. What they're able to do with this is going to cement them, you know, in the history of that university for a long time, and they take that seriously. And I think they're hell bent on getting this done one way or another.
I got one more thing I want to add, make sure there's something clarified for everybody, because I've been asked, hey, is Republic FC a part of this and this rebuild and everything like that? And for everything that I've talked to people, it sounds like Republic FC is not a part of this. And if they were, it would have to be something where they're not using artificial turf to play on. And I believe the stadium has artificial turf. So if anybody has questions about, okay, is Republic FC going to play there because they don't like playing at Heart Health Park? From everything I've heard, there's nothing to do with it. It's two separate.
So I haven't heard anything either, but I watched a press conference back, and I was talking about this during the break a little bit. And President Luke Wood, he mentioned in the coming weeks they're going to unveil more information about this. And he said it twice. He said something about, yeah, naming rights and tenants. And I don't know. The Kings ain't using the field as a tenant, so – there's only one other team.
Can I clarify what he probably meant by tenant then? I think if you remember, CIF is looking for high school football venues for state championships.
Very true. Very true.
I think that if I had a guess, and this is just me guessing, like I said, I think that's the tenant he's probably saying. Like, hey, NorCal championships, state championships held at Sacramento State, which would be an incredible venue, especially if it's redone within the next 2 years, because we have a lot of great venues up here that are underutilized in that respect.
Jake, you are the man, my friend.
No.
And your team's going down this Sunday.
Okay, so Kenny, what are we betting on? What's
well, you notice he didn't commit to sports Sunday, just in case. just in case something goes wrong, he can be like, oh, no, the wife said I had to. Like, I caught that. I don't know if you caught it, Jake.
I'm around this guy
10 hours a day, every day for the last 4 years. Like, I know what that meant.
I'm there. We win in this.
Kenny, what's that, though? What are we doing?
Man, a little bottle? Another one of them Grey Goose bottles up there, man.
Say less. Say less. I want a Merlot, okay, if I win.
There we go.
You got it.
We appreciate you, Jake. We'll see you Sunday night, my man.
Deuces, fam.